You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
On the weekend, hey, she is about here. Welcome in. It is a Friday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take you through this 3 o'clock hour on a beautiful Friday in eastern Iowa. I think a lot of people are out enjoying it, and they're going to be enjoying it even more tonight. It's going to get windier coming up tomorrow. Wind's going to be a factor at Kinnick Stadium as Iowa and Minnesota will play for the Floyd of Rosedale coming up at about 2:35 tomorrow. We'll talk about that, the college football slate, NFL football. We'll look back on last night's heartbreaker if you were a Cajun Troy and a New Orleans Saints fan. We'll kick that around for you. And the Emil's Hideaway pick six, a chance for somebody out there to win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. All that coming up before 4 o'clock here today on the Gym Class program, presented each and every day by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Great to have you with us on 1600 ESPN, our FM frequencies as well, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. And, thank you very much for joining us here today. And if you want to find out more, of course, go to DuPaco.com. You can also go to our website at KGYMradio.com. Find out a little bit more about the great things that they do. Love to hear from you today. 319-366-1600. That is a text line, phone line as well. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me from the back porch in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this, what may be one of the final real nice days of 2023 summer / fall. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And, much going on. And in my Twitter and Facebook post priming the show for today, I neglected to mention the final night of the regular season in high school football for some and the first-round playoffs for others. It's going to be a nice night for that.
We have had, in my 30-plus years of doing games on week 9, there have been a lot more poor weather nights than good weather nights. This is going to be that small handful of good weather nights. So, yeah, best of luck to all the playoff teams in 2A, 1A, A, and 8-man that will play tonight. And big games all around. Final night of the regular season in classes 5A, 4A, and 3A. We'll be over at Linmar tonight. Linmar with basically a playoff game to get in. Lions and Pleasant Valley will be over there tonight. John and I on CRMLivesports.com at 7 o'clock. Got a lot to get to. Baseball as well, because we suddenly have series again. Philadelphia falling to Arizona yesterday in a really good Major League playoff baseball game. That was a dandy. And then not so much last night as Houston took it out on the Texas Rangers. That series is now tied 2 apiece. Philadelphia still with a 2-1 lead over Arizona in the National League Championship Series. And we've got baseball for you coming up tonight right here on 1600 ESPN for you, beginning at 6:30. It'll be the pregame for the fourth game of the National League Championship Series. We can only hope it was as good as yesterday's. It'll be Philadelphia and Arizona going at it. And the D-backs are going to go basically with a bullpen game tonight, Mark. I don't know. We'll see.
Sometimes that works, sometimes not. But nevertheless, a very important win for Arizona, quite obviously, last night. Philadelphia seemed in total control, but kind of, I wouldn't call it sleepwalking through that game, but Fott was very good, the rookie pitcher for Arizona. Tremendous, in fact. And that's the big reason in addition to Marte, that Arizona won. And in terms of Astros, have the momentum now, do they not? Even though, you know, it's 2-2 and the Rangers have another at home, but it's Verlander against Montgomery tonight. I mean, what a matchup that is. Whoever prevails there, Houston could go up 3-2. But then again, they don't play very well at home.
Yeah, yeah. 319-366-1600. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. Houston and Texas for Game 5 of that particular series before they go to back to Arlington. No, Houston. It's in Arlington. We'll get it right. They're both in Texas before Game 6 goes off here in a couple of days. By the way, should mention tomorrow as well, we've got, if it's not the best college football game of the weekend, it's certainly one of them. I'm not going to go out on a limb in as much as Fox is saying it is the game of the year. But we've got Ohio State and Penn State tomorrow at 10:30 for you here on 1600 ESPN on our FM frequencies as the first of the round robin in the Big Ten East will go off from the Horseshoe in Columbus. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Iowa, Minnesota tomorrow. What are your thoughts? 319-366-1600. What needs to happen? By the way, the Before the Boom podcast is available for you and ready to go. Correct, by the way. Hello to you, Isaac.
Hello.
And it's ready to go?
Yep, it's all set on our Facebook and our website, kgymradio.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Check it out, either the video or the audio. If you don't want to see our smiling faces, just go with the audio. we'll just say that. Going to be a windy day at Kinnick Stadium, Mark, and we'll see how that will play into the frighteningly good offenses that these two teams possess. Now, I kid. Iowa's defense, special teams have been impeccable over the last couple of weeks. Minnesota's defense is not too bad in its own right. And with the wind blowing tomorrow, as forecasted, could be up to 30 miles per hour as far as the gusts are concerned. I got to think that the least number of mistakes is going to be at a premium for both teams.
Yeah, the wind can be very impactful tomorrow and puts a premium on the running games. By the way, a preemptive strike, Cajun Troy will be calling and no doubt telling us she could have caught that ball. But at any rate, I think a big factor, and P.J. Fleck has been very tight-lipped about it in the Minnesota camp, and that's injuries, and one to Darius Taylor, a terrific freshman running back who averages more than 100 yards a game, but has missed the last two because of leg injuries. Now, the bye week may help him, may help others. It remains to be seen, but Fleck said he's not going to tip his hand until the teams have to officially release availability reports 2 hours before the game. I think whether Taylor's there or not, the running games are going to be huge. And the defense is, I mean, it's another slobber knocker in the Big Ten West, right?
Or if you want to know how the injuries will go, just ask Jim Harbaugh's analyst guy on the sideline. No way, he can't be there anymore. We found the culprit, or the internet found the culprit anyway. I would agree with you, Mark. I would agree with you in all seriousness. 0835 in the text line says, this could be a higher scoring game than thought. Iowa gets wide receivers going because they have to, but I think the offense will look golden. Iowa wins 28-10. Thank you for the score prediction, 0835. Yes, that was dominating everything last night. I never thought I would see a year, Mark, where the Iowa Hawkeyes under Kirk Ferentz would wear alternate uniforms on three different occasions. But that is going to happen. Apparently, there is going to be gold uniforms tomorrow for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
I saw some hanging in lockers at Kinnick Stadium, and they look pretty sharp. We'll see when the whole team gets on the field tomorrow afternoon, but listen, I don't care what teams wear. I really don't. I take that back. I care about it when Oregon is on the field and it blinds your eyes. But generally speaking, I don't think it makes two hoots.
I got news for you. This was not Kirk Ferentz's idea. I guarantee you this was not. Kirk tolerated once a year wearing something different. And, of course, the Penn State game on the road, black pants. They went with the all-black against Michigan State, and now apparently gold uniform tops.
No wings, though.
No wings. Thank goodness. There will be no wings for those. I'm lukewarm on it. Isaac, are you a gold uniform fan for the Hawkeyes?
I mean, why not? Might as well try it. I mean, I'll have to see how it looks. I guess this is what it ultimately comes down to. If it looks good on the TV tomorrow, then I don't know. Sure, why not? But if it looks bad, then you tried it and it failed. Don't do it again, sort of thing.
I come from experience. My high school football team, junior and senior year, wore gold jerseys at home. I didn't like the look. I didn't like it.
I think the black helmet and the black pants might kind of offset the real sharpness of it. But again, I'll have to see how it looks tomorrow on the TV to really pass judgment.
That is our Blackwell fashion update of the day with Isaac.
I don't know why I'm wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt. I don't know if I'm the best person to be giving fashion advice to anyone out there.
Hey, it's Vogue, man. It's in vogue right now.
You never can tell what I'm wearing, can you?
319-366-1600. 0547 says, I want to see Iowa win out, go to the Big Ten championship game, somehow win that, force their way into the college football playoff with the worst offense in the NCAA. There's a lot of work to be done before that can happen. But there were several shows talking about that very subject this week. Listen, don't even worry about it until we are convening in mid-December and talking about that possibility. Other than that, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it at this point. Wind is going to play a big factor. Special teams are going to play a big factor. How about Torrey Taylor in punting? Or Minnesota in punting? Anybody in punting? Football, and we've heard this from several authorities as far as over the years is concerned, Mark, it's not so much rain, it's not so much snow, it is wind that is the biggest factor as far as putting a football game and making it kind of up in the air.
Well, it depends on whether it's a north to south wind or an east to west wind or west to east, whatever you might want to call it. That could be entirely different dynamics across wind versus, into the wind, downwind, whatever. And it's going to be, from the coin flip. Do you defer to the second half? Do you take the ball? Do you take the win? Whatever it may be. Just another aspect to this game.
Northwest wind 15 to 25, gusts as high as 30. That is the official forecast. So, and you get into a bowl like Kinnick Stadium is, the wind swirls around. It's not going to be purely from the northwest. Iowa has won the toss many times this year, many times in the 20-plus years of the Kirk Ferentz era. Loves to take the football. And I think you got to think twice about it tomorrow because the wind, I think, is going to be a bigger factor in this football game, then it's going to be a factor. It's going to be a factor out there. If you can pin somebody deep, make them punt into the wind, then you're going to get great field position, and it's going to be much harder to flip the field. 319-366-1600. You're on the gym class. Cyclone Tim is just hoping that you're wearing something.
I can assure you, Tim, I am wearing something. Leave that to your imagination.
He's wearing something.
I kid. I'm good.
You're fine. What do you think out there about Iowa and Minnesota? What are the factors that are going to go into this game? Biggest factor, and we talked about this yesterday on Before the Boom, and you can go listen to the podcast, as we mentioned, Mark, but That is, this is an Iowa football team now that last year they lived on the edge of things. This year it is take that edge and multiply it by the nth degree. If Iowa falls behind in a football game, much like they did against Penn State, does this team have the firepower to come back?
That remains to be seen. Down by how much is the question. I think Iowa was down to Michigan State. I don't recall how many, but it did come back and win that game.
That was with Cade McNamara, though.
But this is, this is a fragile animal right now in the Iowa football program. But 7-1 sure would look good going into the bye week, and then never a guarantee going down the stretch. And you'd be advised to circle that Rutgers game. I'm just saying right now.
I would agree with you. Rutgers is a pretty good football team. Not bad. Not bad out there.
I think the only team with a winning record left on Iowa's schedule.
True. Very true. And Rutgers is going to go to 6-2 and bowl eligibility more than likely as they put another nail in the Tom Allen coffin tomorrow in Bloomington as they will take on the Indiana Hoosiers. Other Big Ten games tomorrow, Northwestern goes to Nebraska. They are both 3-3. Got to think the Huskers get well at home. We'll see. We're going to pick this one, Wisconsin and Illinois from Champaign. You've got all the intrigue surrounding Michigan and Michigan State on NBC tomorrow night at 6:30 with everything that went on with Harbaugh this week. This year, in the past, apparently, can Michigan State rise from the ashes at 2-4 and take down their longtime bitter rivals, in-state rival Michigan Wolverines, and take them out of possibly the college football playoff? And then the biggie, Penn State and Ohio State from the Horseshoe in Columbus along the Olentangy tomorrow. And that will be 10:30 pregame right here on 1600 ESPN from Westwood One. Really looking forward to that football game. We are going to pick that, but any thoughts about Penn State and Ohio State outside of prediction, Mark?
I think it's going to be a highly defensive game. I know Ohio State is banged up at running back. How much for this game? I don't know. But Penn State and James Franklin just have not been very good in games in Columbus.
Or in Happy Valley, for that matter, against Ohio State, especially Ohio State, to a lesser degree, Michigan. We'll see. It's going to be a blockbuster game tomorrow. Penn State's got to get out in front. They got to keep this. If they watch Ohio State go 14-0 right away in the first quarter, then I think it's Katie bar the door. But I think this is a different Penn State animal tomorrow. No pun intended.
Yeah, it's pivotal for both because each has Michigan remaining on the schedule. Now, I don't know who Michigan would be rooting for and, whether they're going to have a spy on the horseshoe sideline or what. I don't know, but you don't need a spy to know that both these teams, Penn State and Ohio State, are very good at what they do.
Very true. Very true. The Big 12 tomorrow, Iowa State, of course, with a bye. They are enjoying an off week this week. Their opponent next week, the Baylor Bears, will be at Cincinnati. One of those teams is going to go to 3-4. Oklahoma is at home. They are a heavy favorite to beat Central Florida. Oklahoma State will go to West Virginia tomorrow. Texas and Houston, the last time the Texas will go and take on the Houston Cougars. First time and last time. All rolled up into one as Texas leaves for the SEC next year. Interesting game in Manhattan. Kansas State, who has underachieved this year at 4-2, will take on a TCU team that comes in at 4-3. And then you've got tomorrow night, you've got BYU at home trying to win their fifth game. And they take on Texas Tech, who has been playing very good football as of late. Red Raiders come in at 3-4. So some interesting games in the Big 12 tomorrow as well. But I think Penn State, Ohio State is the one that kind of trumps everything, if you will.
I do. And then you have some national games of impact and interest and maybe topped by Utah and Southern California. I think Tennessee, Alabama is an interesting game. We're going to pick those two on the Emo's Hideaway pick six. And I don't know, Clemson, Miami. Who takes a knee first?
Duke, Florida State as well.
Yeah.
If Duke has Riley Leonard, apparently is going to go tomorrow. Tomorrow night on ABC. We shall see. Duke without Riley Leonard does not have a shot against Florida State. And this might be the last roadblock for the Seminoles on the way to the ACC championship game. They win tomorrow. I think it's a pretty good bet they're going to be one of the four teams in the college football playoff.
I'd agree.
Yeah. Also, by the way, a big salute to the LSU Tigers. They are hosting Army tomorrow night at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. They redid painted their end zones in camouflage as a tip of the hat to the Black Knights of the Hudson, the Army coming in tomorrow night. Looks really cool, by the way. And way to go, LSU, for doing that. 319-366-1600. We're going to get to, yes, Troy, we will get to pro football coming up here in just a little bit. And you can, we have Spencer complains about the Brewers. We've got Troy complaining about the New Orleans Saints coming up here in a little bit. But Mark, going to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. It is brought to you by Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock. Good patio weather, by the way, tonight, if you are so inclined. What do we have?
Specifics on Michigan. It has suspended Connor Stallions, a member of the recruiting / analytical team at Michigan. They have suspended him without pay until the NCAA investigation comes to some sort of resolution. It's official. Justin Fields is out for the Bears for Sunday's game. Tyler Bagent gets the start, the former Division II record-setting quarterback. Travis Kelce, your boy, had to wear a Cyclone mascot head to a news conference today, Scott.
Yep.
He was enticed to place a bet on the Iowa State-Cincinnati game. Kelce played at Cincinnati. With Brad Gee, Kansas City communications officer and an Iowa State grad. Finally, the Contemporary Era Committee released eight names for consideration into the Baseball Hall of Fame. This is for managers, executives, and umpires. Managers nominated Cito Gaston, Davey Johnson, Jim Leland, and Lou Piniella. Executives, Bill White and Hank Peters, and umpires, Ed Monahue and Joe West.
Country Joe West.
These men need 12 out of 16 votes in December to get into the Hall of Fame. Do you vote West in because of longevity?
No. He was terrible. Does Angel Hernandez get in someday?
God.
I mean, it's basically the same principle. I don't know. Jimmy Leland, of that group, Jimmy Leland, easily, as far as manager is concerned. I think he gets in. I hope so anyway. Joe West. 319-366-1600. Troy says a deflated ball will work better. Just ask Tom Brady in the wind tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL, get you ready for the Emil's Hideaway pick six. All that coming up when we return on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it's going to be a sunny and comfortable rest of the day. As we head into tonight, we'll have clear skies and temperatures will just drop into the upper 40s as the winds pick up out of the south. Tomorrow's going to be sunny but breezy. Temperatures are going to be held to the low 60s and winds will be gusting as high as 35 miles per hour. As we head into Sunday, it will be calmer but still chilly with temperatures in the upper 50s and sunny skies.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinic October 26th at either the Cedar Rapids or Coralville location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, careprohealthservices.com.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT, and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At the Home Depot, Saturdays are about two things. The one-of-a-kind wood-fired flavor of a Traeger Ironwood XL grill.
And football.
That's right, Desmond Howard. Get fired up for the game in just a tap with Traeger's intuitive touchscreen. Then throw on your favorites and monitor the grill from anywhere with Wi-Fi technology. So you spend less time staring at the grill.
Which means more time for football.
For football. Upgrade your Saturday with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Back at 3:32 on a Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott, Mark, and Isaac taking you through this 3 o'clock hour. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6 o'clock. And Mark, last night, the fresh week of the National Football League got underway. Jacksonville beating New Orleans last night, 31-24. A game that I don't know if either team wanted to win because Jacksonville just kept making stupid penalties, giving New Orleans a chance to stay in it and stay in it and stay in it. And New Orleans didn't want to seize the opportunity last night. And I know people are going to be all over and already are all over Foster Moreau for the drop in the end zone. Let's call it what it was. It was a drop. He's not the first player to ever have a drop in a big situation in a football game. Not the first tight end to ever do that, Jackie Smith. You probably don't even know who Jackie Smith is, do you, Isaac? Do you know who Jackie Smith is? No?
I can't say that I do.
All right. Mark, you want to explain Jackie Smith to Isaac?
Go ahead.
Great all-pro tight end, dropped a sure touchdown pass in a Super Bowl. And that was late in his career. He did it for the Dallas Cowboys, though, which is something you can't do. Anyway, tough one for the Saints, certainly, last night, as they fall down under 500 now.
Yeah, the Saints have lost four of the last five, and I don't know. This team has one of the biggest payrolls in the NFL. And not getting it done. Carr was okay. I mean, what about that potential touchdown pass to probably tie the game?
Olave, yeah.
It wasn't perfect, but it was certainly very catchable. And that's the way I would describe it. On the other hand, Jacksonville is 5-2. It has won four games in four different stadiums in 20 days. This is a very resilient team. Two of them in England, by the way. Very resilient, talented team.
And I'm very happy Chiefs got a win and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Very, very happy about that. Yeah, I agree with you about Jacksonville. That's a good football team. Trevor Lawrence is starting to get things together. He came in a little dinged in that game, but came through with flying colors. And that defense creates turnovers. And that is, you get that in the National Football League, and you get good things to happen on your side. And Troy, I as soon as that hit the ground and hit the turf, I thought of you. I felt for you.
Let me tell you what, Scott. When I left my marriage 31 years ago, I had said nothing affects my happiness the next day. And that's my motto through life, okay? But one thing I can say about my team, they keep us watching, okay?
They do.
When I was in Green Bay, I told the fans at halftime, I said, listen, Saints fans, we don't fully cheer until the clock says 0-0-0-0. And, you know, we were 17-0, and we lost that game 18-17. But, you know, when we were losing 24-9, I was at friends drinking some brown stuff, and I was like, can't they just score and put us out of our misery? Because I had too many friends at the game, and I just wanted them to go home by the fourth quarter. You know? But it is. I mean, I think the Carr project is over. You know, he's just not it. And what happened to the slant? All we do is throw fade passes. That's all we throw. But it's, you know, the season's over. We're done. Maybe we'll get one of those top quarterbacks. And then the rumors on my text line with all my friends, we got Harbaugh as the coach next year. Michigan,
oh, boy.
Let him go.
Well, you know, he's got a spy somewhere. He's taking notes as far as the other NFL teams.
We can help him with some little voodoo, you know?
Well, I'm glad you have a great attitude about it, Troy.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I think about whenever those moments come? When I was in that Superdome and Gary Hartley kicked that field goal for us to go to the Super Bowl. So that's my joy for the rest of my life.
All right. Hang in there, Troy.
Care.
Thanks.
Okay, bye, Duke.
Yeah.
Cajun Troy. Talking
they're
about
not out of, they're not out of it in the NFC South.
I still think they're going to win the division.
Tampa Bay's at 3-2, Atlanta 3-3, now New Orleans 3-4. You know, the pathway is there certainly, but tough losing four out of the last five.
They've got to do something about. They got to get Derek Carr turned around though. Big games this weekend. Before we get to a break here in the National Football League. You've got Lions and Ravens on Sunday. The 5-1 Lions go to Baltimore to take on the 4-2 Ravens. And also, it will be the Steelers and the Rams. Suddenly, that's got a little bit of luster to it. Chargers and the Chiefs. If Kansas City beats the Chargers, the Chiefs will have it in basically, in essence, a 3.5-game lead over the Chargers. Dolphins, Eagles on Sunday night, and then 49ers and Vikings. We'll see if the Niners get their weapons back. Is that a must-win for Minnesota? We'll see how Detroit does on Sunday, and then we'll know. If Detroit wins on Sunday in Baltimore, I think Minnesota better win that game against San Francisco, or it's going to be a long, long year. Are you going to watch the Bears and your D2 quarterback, Mark, take on Aiden O'Connell and the Las Vegas Raiders? This thing has got NFL history, and all this is going to be something we're going to see in 10 years from now. Go back and rewatch this game over and over again because of the great quarterback play.
Well, if it's on Fox, I'll watch it. If they show Detroit and Baltimore, I'll watch that. You know, I'd like to see the Bears game because I'm a fan, but that Detroit-Baltimore game is going to be a whale of a game. And, you know, Green Bay has to go to Denver. If Green Bay loses and Detroit wins, Detroit's got a 3-game lead in that division.
Very true. That could be. That's big. Still not even at the halfway point of the National Football League. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. Panel is together, and we're going to pick some games. The Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, and we'll do it when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Halloween fans, the CR Nubo and Czech Village Halloween Parade is back. Terry Duran presents the Monsters Unleashed Halloween Parade tomorrow. Bring your family, friends, and come in costume. A creepy kid zone starts at 4. The family costume contest is at 5, and the parade steps off at 6:30. Wear your costume and get ready for a great time tomorrow. Get details at CedarRapidsHalloweenParade.com. All are welcome to sign up floats and parade entries. Just call Terry Duran Company.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. That's 2,000 children every single day. It's a heart-wrenching reality that we can no longer ignore. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted vehicle, running or not. Call 1-800-294-0222. We guarantee that you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast, free pickup with 24-hour response. Call 1-800-294-0222. Find the Children provides crucial resources to help find missing children and educational materials to teach kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs have a proven track record of reuniting kids with their families. It's time to act. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Help us build a world where every child is safe. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-294-0222. Together, we can bring these kids home safely. This advertisement was paid for in partnership with Cars R Us and Find the Children.
It is 3:41. We're back with you on a Friday edition of the Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM. Scott, Mark, Isaac, Spencer with me here in studio.
Hello.
Did you enjoy Cajun Troy? Cajun Troy did not have the Cajun Troy complains about the Saints segment. She said she's okay with it. She's okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feel the same way about the Packers. Like, I fully expect them to lose to the Broncos this weekend, but we'll see.
We'll see. Never know. All right, we welcome the panel as Dave joins us here as well from Emil's Hideaway. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys.
Great to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
All right. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, and I'm just warning the other two that Secretariat is coming up in the bunch.
All right. Mark, panel's ready to go for this week's edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, of course, on First Avenue Southeast, right across from the Lindale Mall, and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 Monday through Saturday. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. And, six good ones this week. I'll throw it over to you for game one, number one.
You got it. Dave leads the season, but it's bunched up everybody within four games of one another. He has a one-game lead over Spencer. Scott won the week last week, and Scott, you will lead off. First game is Wisconsin giving 2.5 points at Illinois.
Why do you keep putting these Big Ten West games on here? Because nobody knows what's happening in the Big Ten West. The way it looks, Allen's going to play. So, and I think Locke is going to be as good or better than Mordecai. And I'm just not confident in Illinois. So, in typical Big Ten West fashion, I will take Wisconsin. Why not, right?
Illinois really coming off a high beating Maryland, but I'm still not convinced this is a great football team, not even a good one. Wisconsin's got to be seething. Whether Tanner Mordecai is, you know, he's out, but I think it's a Wisconsin team really chomping at the bit to get back in the win column, so I'll take the Badgers. Dave.
Both teams are dealing with some injury problems that could hinder their offensive side of the ball. Mordecai is a huge blow for the Badgers because of his replacement's lack of snap at quarterback. The Illini are hurting at running back, and with quarterback Altmyer throwing 9 picks this season, this be a tough challenge for the Illini. The Badgers' defense have 10 turnovers in 6 games this year. The Illini have committed 14 takeaways this year. Giving Wisconsin to win and cover.
Oh, Spencer.
I will not be going to Illini Island. That just sounds like a terrible place to visit. I feel like I'm going to get burned picking Wisconsin 2 weeks in a row, but I'd feel like even with a backup quarterback and a banged-up running back, they're a better team in this situation. So on Wisconsin, I'm throwing up the W. In the studio.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is. Right behind Floyd of Rosedale, which looks a little bit weird.
Champagne's not that bad, Spencer, believe me.
I'll take your word for it.
They have a Cracker Barrel.
Game two.
Cedar Rapids. That's
game two, I am up. It is Clemson favored by 2.5 points at Miami. I have to admit I don't have a true feeling for this game, but I think Clemson is the more talented team. And I'll go in that direction. Dave.
Clemson's season so far has been defined by a road loss at Duke and a close home loss to Florida State. But this Tiger team is good on both sides of the ball, and they're coming off a bye week. Clemson is 25-7 straight up and 18-12-2 coming off a bye. Dabo Sweeney knows how to get his team ready with an extra week of practice. In addition to that, the Hurricanes are just 1-9 against the spread versus ACC teams over the last 2 seasons. Give me Clemson to win and cover.
Spencer.
Boy, if I didn't like Illini Island, I'm sure I'm not going to like Hurricane Island. That sounds even worse than Illini Island. I'm still not convinced Clemson's offense can move the ball. And it being in Miami, the game being in Miami, I will go from throwing up the W to throwing up the U in the studio. Go Canes.
He does. He's got the U there, too.
U. It's all about the U. Great, great 30 for 30 series.
Best ones.
Yeah.
Best ones. Well, that or the Pony Excess.
Yep.
One of those two. You think I have no idea about Wisconsin, Illinois, Clemson, Miami? I don't know. Miami just seems to find a way to lose in these big matchups. I don't think Clemson's particularly astounding this year, but this is more of an anti-Miami pick than a anti-Clemson pick. So I'm gonna put Spencer on Miami Island
and Hurricane Island.
And go with the Tigers.
Miami Island sounds more fun than Hurricane Island.
Hurricane Island.
Game three, and Dave is up. It is in the SEC. Tennessee getting 8.5 points at Alabama.
And defense will be a key to winning this game. The Tide defense gives up 16 points a game and less than 300 total yards. They have 26 sacks and 7 picks for the year. Alabama can get after the quarterback, defend the run and the pass. They will try to stop the Tennessee rushing game and put the football in the volunteer quarterback's hand. And he lacks the ability to throw downfield effectively enough to beat the Tide on his own. Alabama's defense is holding opponents to 105 yards a game. Since their loss to Texas, the Tide are completing better than 72% of their passes with a 4-1 ratio of touchdowns to picks. Give me Alabama to win and cover.
Spencer.
Yeah, I think Alabama's going to ultimately win the game, but I feel like Tennessee might keep this one close on the road. So I'm gonna maybe against my better judgment go with the Vols here.
Scott.
Well, this is a tough one.
Everyone's tough for you.
Because it is because I have two very, very dear friends that are big Tennessee fans, and I hate to do this to them, but I listened to two podcasts this week, and they both had the same theme. Oh, by the way, here comes Alabama. You may have buried them a little bit too early. Here's their path to the championship playoff. And I'm not so sure they're wrong. With all due apologies to Rusty, I got to go Roll Tide and take Alabama.
Tennessee needs better play out of Joe Milton, the quarterback. That's for sure. But the Vols can run the ball. I'm not sure how successfully against this Alabama defense, but thinking in the back of my mind, Alabama had Arkansas whipped and let them back in the game and ended up winning by three. Alabama is probably going to want to exact some revenge. But Tennessee's 4-2 against the spread this year. So I think it's too many points. Give me Tennessee. Game four. Out on the West Coast, Utah getting 6.5 points at Southern Cal.
Spencer. Me, I believe, right? Yes.
Spencer, I'm sorry.
You're good. So quarterbacks are going to be key in this one, and Utah's lack of Cam Rising, I think, is going to be the difference. With Cam Rising in the game, I think they have a chance. Without him, I think Caleb Williams has a bounce-back game, so I will roll with the Trojans at home. Again, probably against my better judgment. But.
this one's going to be if you watch the Iowa-Minnesota game in the afternoon, you may want to watch this at night just to cleanse your palate a little bit, because this could be first to 45. USC can't stop anybody. With that in mind, they may win, but I will take the Fighting Utes of Utah in the 6.5.
I'm going to join you, Scott. Southern Cal allowing 30 points per game. And, I agree with Spencer, Caleb Williams may have a game to back up his last one. This one's going to be too close for comfort, I think. So I'll take Utah on the 6.5. Dave.
Caleb Williams wasn't at his best last week, and the Trojans lost to Notre Dame. He had only 199 yards passing and threw three picks. The junior quarterback has reached 300 yards in three of their seven games this year and over 2,000 yards passing. The Southern Cal offense is elite with an outstanding running back and several big-time receiving core players. The Trojans bounce back at home to win and cover.
Okay, game five. Scott, you're back on the leadoff. It's that big game you talked about, Penn State at Ohio State, and Penn State getting 4.5 points.
If you listen to Before the Boom, I called my shot on this one. I'm going Nittany's. I think it's their time. I think they're due. I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions.
I think it's a mental thing with James Franklin and Penn State against Ohio State. Ohio State might be down to its fourth running back, but the guy's still pretty good. I don't even know his name at this point, but that's what Ohio State does. And I think at home, resting on its defense, Ohio State will go ahead and win, not by much more than 4.5, but I will take Ohio State. Dave.
Ohio State will win this game by at least a touchdown and cover. The Buckeyes have dominated this series, winning the last six in a row, 10 of the last 11. The Lions are very good and maybe a year away, as they are a heavy-laden sophomore team. But give me Ohio State to win and cover.
All right, do it, Spencer.
What?
Put me on the island.
Oh, I'm putting you on the island. Buckeyes, I agree with Dave. Buckeyes by a touchdown. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has a big game. Or Cade Stover, the tight end, one of the two, or both. There you go. Buckeyes, go.
Last game and the tiebreaker, I am batting leadoff. It's Minnesota getting 5.5 points at Iowa. And the tiebreaker, Caleb Williams passing yards against Utah. This game has been decided the last five or six times by 5 points or fewer. And I have no reason to believe it won't again this time. I think Iowa's got a very good shot to win. If Darius Taylor plays, I mean, Mo Ibrahim ran all over Iowa last year. Now, Minnesota doesn't have a Mo Ibrahim, but Darius Taylor's pretty darn good. I just think it's going to be a game that's close. So I will take Minnesota in the points. And I will take my area code 319.
Caleb Williams. Mark getting street cred.
Dave. The Hawkeyes are a ranked team playing at home, but are somehow getting by with a next-man-up mentality. Deacon Hill has replaced the starting quarterback, Cade McNamara. Hill is averaging under 100 yards per game and completing only 37% of his passes. Can a team keep winning with those kinds of numbers and a loss of key players? The Gophers are not a juggernaut and also have trouble throwing the football. Give me Iowa to win the game, Minnesota to cover with those, all those points. And I will take 247.
Did you say Minnesota to cover, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Spencer?
I'm on record as thinking Iowa will win 14-10, so that is a Minnesota cover. I will just regurgitate the same talking points, an ugly game, yada, yada, stop the run the football, defense, special teams, so on and so forth. So I will take Minnesota and the points tomorrow. As for the tiebreaker, I'll go 300 even for Caleb Williams versus Utah.
Yeah, you forgot to add score first.
Score first, start fast.
And Iowa is going to go over 20 tomorrow.
Are you feeling okay?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's the sun. Give me the Hawks. I think they show tomorrow. Something tells me. I think, and by show, it's going to be like 23-10 or something like that. We're not going to have Iowa score 35 points or anything like that. It's just going. I think they're going to flip the field, score first, put Minnesota behind the eight ball, and make the Gophers just play uphill all day. And I'll go 322 for Caleb Williams. He's gonna throw for some yards in that game. All right, those are the picks. They are in. They are sealed. They are ready to go. We need four contestants right now at 319-366-1600 to hitch your wagon up to each of the prognosticators. Whoever has the best week, that listener will get a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. If you have been a contestant over the last one-month period, the last 4 weeks, please do not call in. Dave, thanks for the help. Appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good.
All right, and we've got Isaac getting all the information from the people out there, so looking forward to that, and looking forward to Spencer on Sports coming up next. What do we got? Football.
Usual football Friday. All football all the time, with maybe some baseball.
And a little bit of baseball thrown in there. Heck of a game yesterday in the National League. That was a big one and a lot of fun. Hopefully that one will be as good, or tonight's will be as good as that one was yesterday. Have a good weekend, man.
You too.
All right, Mark, have a great weekend, and we will talk again on Monday at 3. We'll take a look back at the weekend.
Sounds great. Have a great show, Spencer. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right, you've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. And don't forget, we've got playoff baseball coming your way tonight at 6:30. Spencer on Sports next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We're back with you Monday at 3. Have a great weekend, everybody.